It's Friday, April 10th, 2009, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville. Produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C., this is your normal daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal's staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about our show at our website, stash.normal.org. and continue the education and conversation on our blog as well. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. The podcasting and blogging technology for the Normal Daily Audio Stash is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. For your professional web design needs, visit redaphid.com. Good day, Stashers, and welcome to the podcast. We've made it through another exciting week in marijuana law reform. Got a couple things to get off my chest here before we get to the show. First of all, want to announce something that's happening next week that's going to be a nice big splash in the media, and that is marijuana consumers demanding to pay taxes. Normal is going to present a $14 billion check to the U.S. Treasury on tax day, while we call on Congress to tax and regulate cannabis to boost the economy. Of course, this is happening on Wednesday, April 15th at 4:20 p.m. Eastern Time. Representatives from Normal, including Alan St. Pierre, our National Executive Director, will be on the steps of the General Post Office in Midtown Manhattan to present a check for $14 billion to the U.S. Treasury Department. The check totals an estimate of what American taxpayers spend every year to maintain marijuana prohibition, according to the report, The Budgetary Implications of Marijuana Prohibition in the United States, which you can find at prohibitioncosts.org. Americans spend some $6 billion on law enforcement costs relating to enforcing marijuana laws, and taxing and regulating the production and sale of cannabis, like alcohol, would reduce these costs while raising an estimated $8 billion in new tax revenue. That's according to Nobel Prize winner Milton Friedman and over 500 other accredited economists. Alan St. Pierre, Normal's executive director, said, quote, "We're representing America's millions of otherwise law-abiding cannabis consumers who are ready, willing, vocal, and able to contribute this huge sum to our struggling economy while providing truly green jobs and allowing police to focus on more important priorities. All we ask in exchange for our $14 billion is the right to smoke our pot responsibly and in peace, just in the same way as the millions of daily consumers of alcohol products in our country," end quote. So we'll be bringing you some audio and hopefully some video from that event next week on The Stash. We also encourage you to make your own tax day protest at your local post office. Remember, your news media is going to be out there filming all the people who are the last second tax drop-offs. So if you're there with a sign saying "tax us" or "tax and regulate marijuana," that could likely get a lot of play on your evening news. Check out our website at stash.normal.org. We've got a link to Normal's Tax Day protest page where you can download a sign to print out to take to your post office on Wednesday, April 15th. I've also got some other posts at the blog, stash.normal.org, that won't make the podcast today. I've got my own commentary called Trojan Horses, Camels, Noses, and the Slippery Slopes of Medical Marijuana that kind of investigates the fractious nature of the marijuana movement sometimes. And a Stasher sent me an email noting that President Obama had declared April 8th, this last Wednesday, National DARE Day. That's the Drug Abuse Resistance Education, which has been proven in studies to be a failure at keeping kids from using drugs and may even entice some kids to use drugs. This Stasher named Rhett sent in the email, and his takedown of the declaration is quite funny. Check it out at our blog at stash.normal.org. Now, coming up on the podcast today, we've got your hemp headlines, starting with a look at U.S. government statistics on the demographics of adult marijuana users in America as of 2007. In our first interview segment, we're starting a new segment here on the second Fridays of the month. It's the High Times Issue Preview with senior editor David Bienenstock. So you can find out before anyone else what's coming up in the next issue of High Times. Today's It's a Wrap Friday with our daily Toker Tunes brought to you by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com. We've got some great music from the Funk Soldiers. And in our second interview segment, we're going to the Peach State. We're going to Georgia to speak with David Clark, who's trying to get a Normal started down there in the great state of Georgia. Normal of Georgia, that is. If you're down there in Georgia and are interested in fighting for an end to adult marijuana prohibition, you'll want to listen up to this interview for important information on how to join. Only one more week till the 420 weekend. Better start training. It's time for your Normal Daily Audio Stash.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as in multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
Now it's time to take a look at the latest stories about marijuana from news organizations across America and around the world in our Normal Daily Audio Stash, Hemp Headlines. Who are you? The U.S. government statistics on adult marijuana users. The U.S. government's Substance Abuse and Mental Health Data Archive, or SAMHDA, is a treasure trove of information from the National Surveys on Drug Use and Health from 2001 through 2007. Now, I've always been uncomfortable discussing most marijuana statistics from this and other reports because the data so often cover marijuana use from age 12 and over. Normal stands for the responsible adult use of marijuana, so I wanted to know the facts on age 18 and older. Now, some folks might wish the numbers were age 21 and older. I only picked 18 because the first data column is age 18 to 25. And of course, the essential caveat, we must remember these are people who will answer questions about their personal marijuana use when asked by a stranger for a government survey. So first of all, how many adults in the United States have ever smoked weed? The survey breaks down the data by age categories and gives the percentage of the sample, or unweighted N, that answered yes or no to the question. Then they extrapolate based on the U.S. adult population demographics how many people in the United States, or weighted N, would answer yes or no. We find that in the 18 to 25-year-old age group, over 16.7 million people have smoked marijuana. From age 26 to 34, 17.5 million people have smoked marijuana. From age 35 to 49, 34.6 million people have smoked marijuana. And age 50 or older, there are 26.8 million people who've smoked marijuana for a total of 95.9 million people in the United States who have smoked marijuana. Now, broken down by the population, over half of 18 to 25-year-olds and 35 to 49-year-olds have smoked marijuana, and for 26 to 34-year-olds, the figure is 49.8%. At 50 or older, it's only 30% of the population that has smoked marijuana. Or you could look at it this way. If you see someone under the age of 50, flip a coin. Heads, They've smoked pot. Tails, they haven't. Now, when you look at the population of adults who have ever used marijuana, we find that the young people between age 18 and 34 and the middle-aged people between age 35 and 50 are equally represented at 36% of the population. Now, looking at race and ethnicity, well over two-thirds of the people who have ever smoked pot are white, and only one-fourth are black or Latino. This is an interesting fact to note when compared to the proportions of white, black, and Latino people who are arrested, convicted, and incarcerated for marijuana. While Latinos make up the second largest share of adults who've used cannabis at 14%, that is primarily due to their numbers in the overall population. When broken down by racial and ethnic groups, we find that Hispanics are actually less likely to have used cannabis than any other group but Asians. Only 1 out of 4 Latinos have used marijuana, and only 1 out of 6 Asians, no matter what Cheech and Chong and Harold and Kumar may have led you to believe. White folks like me have used marijuana at a rate of about 45%, African Americans at a rate much less, about 37.9%. Overall, the total of Americans who have ever used marijuana is 40.4%. Now, concentrating just on the 22 million estimated American adults who've used cannabis at least once in the past year yields some interesting figures as well. As expected, younger people are the most likely cannabis consumers. A full 28% of people aged 18 to 25 use cannabis annually, and over 11% are using cannabis more than 100 days per year, which is more than the 9% who use less than monthly. But by ages 26 to 34, all those figures drop by half or more. So much for the pot 2.0's addictive powers. By ages 35 to 49, even though chronic and occasional and rare use drops by half again, there are still 1 out of 12 middle-aged Americans using marijuana at least once per year. 36.9% of all annual adult marijuana smokers use marijuana more than 100 times per year, meaning that there's an estimated 8.1 million chronic tokers out there. Almost half of those users are aged 18 to 25. So remember, dear marijuana smoker, you are not alone. 95.9 million American adults have used marijuana. 22 million American adults have used marijuana this year. 8.1 million American adults have likely used marijuana today. If only 1% of the people who smoked pot today donated a dollar to Normal, we'd beat our advertising fundraising goal 4 times over. Washington Representative Deb Wallace, Democrat of Vancouver. Decrim is dead in Washington. We received this email as part of our Politicians on Pot segment, where we ask our listeners to send a letter to their elected representatives, and when they get the response, send it back to us. We've been covering Senate Bill 5615 in the state of Washington, which was a decriminalization measure. We have to pass on this sad news from Representative Wallace. Thank you for your message regarding Senate Bill 5615 regarding decriminalization of marijuana possession. I appreciate you taking the time to write and welcome your input. You make good points and recognize the potential benefits to easing some of the restrictions on cannabis. I looked into the status of this bill for you and have actually learned that it will not be moving forward at this time. The legislature has several self-imposed cutoff dates in order to keep the process moving. Bills that aren't at a certain point in the legislative process when one of these cutoffs occurs do not move forward and are what we call dead. The first cutoff date is for bills to pass out of a policy committee. Unfortunately, Senate Bill 5615 did not meet this cutoff. I don't want this to discourage you. Hearing your thoughts on legislation helps me represent you here in Olympia, regardless of the status of a bill. I also want to assure you that I will keep your thoughts in mind should this legislation be reintroduced next year. Thank you again for writing. I appreciate hearing from you. Deb Wallace, State Representative, 17th Legislative District, Vancouver, Washington. K Kitsap prosecutor drops medical pot charges. In Washington state, some prosecutors are having a tough time with medical marijuana cases. The Kitsap County Prosecutor's Office announced Wednesday afternoon it had dropped criminal charges against a local medical marijuana patient named Glenn Musgrove. Felony and Juvenile Division Chief Tim Drury said, quote, "After looking over the case, we've decided we will not proceed. We do not think we can convince a jury of his guilt beyond a reasonable doubt," end quote. This would have been the second high-visibility medical marijuana case in Kitsap County this spring, following that of Olalla resident Bruce Olson, who was acquitted on March 24th of similar charges. One of the reasons that Tim Drury is having a tough time getting convictions is people like you. The previous trial drew medical marijuana advocates from throughout the Northwest, who provided support for Olson during his trial. Most had promised the same support for Musgrove. It's harder to get 12 citizens to agree to put a patient in jail when the courtroom is filled with compassionate activists that stand up for them. Cannabis Defense Coalition spokesperson Pam Haney, one of the activists observing the trial, said she expected the charges to be dismissed since they were, quote, ludicrous. Haney said changing attitudes in general could mobilize voters to defeat candidates who support restrictive marijuana laws and waste money on their prosecution. Throughout the Olson trial, the prosecutor's office was consistently criticized for continuing the case, alleging that it represented the injudicious use of taxpayer money. Obviously, this outcome is not the norm here in America, but it does prove that a well-organized advocacy group can have a real and tangible impact on the war on drugs. If Pam Haney and her like-minded friends had not shown up and voiced their support of these patients, our prisons would have housed two more Americans that are not criminals. Despite the recent movement on marijuana issues and the increased acceptance of marijuana for medical use, there's a long road ahead of us to end the war on cannabis consumers. We can turn the tide. We can end these counterproductive government practices. It just takes a handful of dedicated Americans that understand the victimless crime that is marijuana use.
I'm a doctor.
I'm a lawyer.
I'm a journalist.
I'm a student.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a representative.
I have cancer.
The outdated laws of prohibition are more dangerous than the plant itself.
I lost my scholarship.
I was fired.
20 million arrests since 1965. This is getting ridiculous.
Our prisons are overcrowded with nonviolent offenders.
We have the opportunity to change.
This is costing our country billions of dollars.
Making my family and I fight in a courtroom is difficult enough when I'm already fighting through chemotherapy.
There's no reason to be scared by tradition anymore.
We can stop this.
We can stop this.
We are the American people.
We can stop this.
And you have our support.
We are old.
Young.
Straight.
Gay.
We're every race and nationality.
And we're not going to give up.
You can tax it.
You can regulate it.
Apply age restrictions.
You can create millions of new jobs.
We can save our economy.
President Obama?
It's time for legalization.
Legalization?
Yes.
We
can.
This has been a public service Norm.
Since 1970, Normal has been fighting for the rights of all adults who use cannabis responsibly. Since 1974, High Times Magazine has been the chronicle of the cannabis community. Every second Friday of the month, we bring that working relationship to the Normal Daily Audio Stash with our special guest, Senior Editor Dave Bienenstock, author of the official High Times Pot Smokers Handbook, for our exclusive monthly preview of this month's issue of High Times. We're initiating a new segment here on the Normal Daily Audio Stash. On every second Friday, we'll be joining Senior Editor Dave Bienenstock from High Times Magazine for a preview of the upcoming issue that'll be out next week. So, Dave, welcome to the show.
Hi there. Hi, everybody out there in Normal Land.
Hey, it's great to have you here. You know, High Times and Normal have had a working partnership for many, many years, and we're glad to extend it here to the podcast. Let's talk about the next issue coming up. What can people expect to see on the cover of this next issue?
Well, I gotta say, I've been at the magazine about 5 years, and this is, I think, one of the most striking covers, because it's just one of those old style scales, and the cover line is "How to Grow a Pound of Pot Every 3 Weeks."
Oh,
We've been joking that this is the, we call this issue, grow your own job. and I mean, that's a funny story, but it's an important skill to have in these times. So it's a very informative, story with a lot of charts and a lot of, really hardcore information for growers on how to make that yield. Mm. And that's certainly going to be helpful to a lot of people these days.
Yeah, kind of the High Times Economic Recovery Act of 2009, huh?
Yeah, it's the prop bailout.
Well, we wouldn't want to have President Obama laugh at us now, so let's get serious. as far as the issue goes this coming up month, you always have great stories inside. What's your big exposé story this month?
Well, another pretty big one for the growers out there is we have an excerpt from Jorge Cervantes' new book. And I don't need to big up that guy because if you love marijuana, you owe, Jorge Cervantes a bit of gratitude. And so we're just really excited to, he's got a great new book coming out. We have an excerpt from that. We have a pretty interesting story about salvia, which is, a psychedelic plant, that is just sort of becoming a legal issue and it gets into both the history of the plant and that sort of modern story of what's going to happen legally to salvia. And I, this month I did the High Times interview with Rick Doblin.
Oh, great.
From MAPS, who is, as he describes it, head of the world's only nonprofit psychedelic pharmaceutical company. and also somebody who has been fighting for, research into marijuana and medical marijuana for more than a decade.
Yeah, Rick's been on the stash before and is always a treasure trove of information on psychedelic research. Some of the stuff that we've learned from him has just been fascinating. I'm sure the interview goes into great depth about that. Did you learn anything new from Rick in doing this interview?
Yeah, I certainly did. His MDMA studies are really, they're reaching a point now where they're getting ready to make that next step and start MDMA-assisted psychotherapy. I don't want to get the terms wrong of where they are, stage one, stage two. You can read it in the article. So it's just a very exciting time with that research. And we also talked a lot about, you know, as somebody who deals with the government on issues related to medical marijuana very directly, you know, what his hope is for the Obama administration, how he views sort of their initial steps towards this and how he sees the future. And you know, he's pretty optimistic.
That sounds great. You know, you mentioned earlier Jorge Cervantes' book. Let's also talk a little bit about your book. You've got a book out now, the official High Times Pot Smoker's Handbook. How's that going, and how's the reaction been from the public?
It's going good. I have to say, too, it's the subtitle of the book is featuring 420 things to do when you're stoned, so there are a lot of good ideas for 420 in there.
Oh, that's right.
I myself, lately I've been telling people playing ping pong is my current passion when I'm stoned. But I've had a great time, doing some book signings with different normal groups. I went down to the University of Central Florida and they gave me a great reception and mm-hmm. had a lot of people show up, for a meeting and I gave a little talk and did a book signing. And I was down in Austin, Texas very recently. For South by Southwest, and again, a great normal chapter down there, put me up in good style and helped set up a book signing event that went really well. And, that's very gratifying to know that people who are really invested in this community are enjoying the book and finding something that they identify with. And of course, the number one thing to do when you're stoned in the book is to join normal.
Oh, yes.
It definitely goes both ways. High Times, like you said, has a real, real long, relationship with Normal that goes back to our founder, Tom Prasad. This is our 35th year of publishing and 35 years ago, he was the guy, leaving $10,000 in cash anonymously on the Normal doorstep. So.
Yep.
It's definitely a long relationship.
Well, I want everybody to get a copy of the official High Times Pot Smoker's Handbook. You should have it right there on your coffee table next to the tray and the pokers. You can keep track of what you're doing out there. And I assume that High Times will be in force at a lot of the summer festivals this year.
Well, I mean, first of all, we're having our own 420 party in New York. I know not everyone is in New York, so I'll just say you can find that info easily on our website. I'll be heading down to Bonnaroo this year, certainly. We have our summer music festival preview is actually in this June issue that's coming out. It's in the next issue.
Next issue. Oh, well.
You can imagine when you're working on a few issues ahead and the subject matter and all, it is easy to get confused. But, yeah, there's going to be a lot of – it's going to be a great summer festival season, especially with Fish and the Dead both out there. It's going to be High Times for sure.
Now, coming up in this next issue we're looking forward to, what do you got on the music and entertainment scene?
Are you talking about what's coming out right now?
Yeah, coming up in the next issue.
We have a good story with Be Real, where he definitely seshes with one of our reporters. He shows you how to make a crazy, like, 5-joint at once holder homemade. And he's talking about some of his new solo work. And, I had another feature in this magazine issue that was basically sort of an overview of the Michael Phelps story and what I really thought it all meant. I believe the whole boycott was the first time that this community was really able to forcefully stand up for itself. You know, I think everybody's got sort of a mixed scorecard on the Obama administration right now, but I don't think anybody would argue that they are definitely less in opposition to us than the last time around. And when America's pot smokers came together and we took on Kellogg's and just pointing out that hypocrisy of the DUI was okay, I think that was a turning point moment. I think that was the moment that this community really started to come out of the closet, show how big we are, show that we are, among other things, a financial force to be reckoned with. And I think the next time something like this comes up, corporate America is going to think twice before they alienate this community.
Yeah, I certainly hope so, and I agree with you about it being a recognition point among the community that we're not alone, that we actually do have a voice if we all act together, and this story just kind of galvanized everybody, I think. This will be all in the next issue of High Times Magazine. It'll be on your newsstands coming up in the next week. Before we let you go, Dave, any other features in the next magazine we ought to let people know about?
Oh, man. Well, you know, there's always a little bit of everything. One of my favorite things every month is THMQ. You just get to see what the prices and the strains all over the country and even all over the world are. And it's, you know, living in New York City, it's, you know, that's one of the best ways to really stay in touch with what people are smoking and paying all over the country. And I guess the other thing is, you know, we have a new medical marijuana column every month. That really gets into the lifestyle out there of medical marijuana, but also different strains and what their specific medical properties are. So that's something exciting and kind of new in the magazine.
All right. Now, if people are in an area where they can't find High Times on their local newsstands, can you give them other ways to get a hold of the magazine?
I think the best thing to do, our website, hightimes.com, has a lot of information of all different kinds, shall we say. And we also have a digital edition of the magazine where you can see a preview of every issue, about 20 pages of it for free, and you can also subscribe digitally. And that's especially great for people who may not have easy access to the magazine.
Yeah, I subscribe myself, and when the magazine always arrives, it's in that plain wrapper. Nobody knows what I'm getting, so it's always good. But I understand some people are a little more paranoid than I am and might want to subscribe digitally. I think that's a great great way of reaching out to the community. Dave Bienenstock is the senior editor of High Times Magazine, joining us every second Friday of the month for the High Times Magazine preview. He's also the author of the official High Times Pot Smoker's Handbook, 420 Things to Do When You're Stoned. Thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you next month.
All right. Thanks a lot, Russ.
Ever wonder how often to change your bong water? The most effective method for baking pot brownies? The best destinations for a ganja getaway? How to hide herb in your car? Whether to grow your own? How precisely to legalize it? Or how something as wonderful as marijuana ever got to be illegal in the first place? Finally, you can find all these answers and much more in the official High Times Pot Smoker's Handbook, featuring 420 things to do when you're stoned. Since 1974, High Times Magazine has covered marijuana in all its aspects and wonders, from cultivation to legalization to the herb's enduring and exalted place in popular culture. Packed with inside information, the official High Times Pot Smoker's Handbook wove all of this collective wisdom together into a single indispensable ganja guide, including an entertaining look at marijuana's history, profiles of herb-friendly travel destinations and festivals, favorite potluck recipes from the High Times staff, smoking skills, advocacy and activism, essential marijuana movies and songs, profiles of famous cannabis strains, comprehensive growing information, celebrity endorsements, and much more. This is truly, finally, the ultimate guide to green living.
The battle to end adult marijuana prohibition can sometimes seem endlessly frustrating and impossible to overcome. One way we bond as a community and draw strength to continue is by rejuvenating our spirit through art and music. The Marijuana Music Awards exist to recognize those sonic artists in all genres of music who feature a ganja-friendly message to motivate and inspire all the cannabis community. Our Daily Toker Tunes, brought to you by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com, feature the finest in blues, rock, jazz, hip-hop, rap, reggae, country, bluegrass, and dance music to enhance that 420 feeling and refresh all you stashers for another day on the front lines of the drug war. Enjoy this cut from MarijuanaMusicAwards.com and visit our blog at stash.normal.org to learn how you can vote for your favorites and enter your Toker Tunes in the 2009 Marijuana Music Awards. It's a wrap on Friday, and today's classic stoner song is from the Funk Soldiers, Skunk Butta, nominated in 2008's Marijuana Music Awards. The Funk Soldiers formed at the beginning of the rap era and had a hugely successful life for 10 years. The group includes stash favorite DJ Ignite of the Blaxicans. The Funk Soldiers have fans around the world, including Japan, Australia, and DJ Ignite's home, Mexico. The group have been featured on over 30 CDs and in magazines. They plan to re-release a couple of their classic CDs, including today's song, Skunk Butta, which features Baby Bash and N2Deep. The Funk Soldiers are soon to release an exit album. All members of the group have remained close friends and have pursued successful solo projects. DJ Ignite's son, Tone E, is continuing the music into the next generation. The Funk Soldiers live on. Google the Funk Soldiers for some hip-hop history and check out myspace.com, The Funk Soldiers, and that's THEFUNXSOULJAZ. The Funk Soldiers. And registered stashers, you can get an MP3 download of this tune. Have a great weekend with The Funk Soldiers and some Skunk Butta.
In them streets over Northern Cali beats, and can you move your feet? Tap and dance while I'm puffing on some green from them humble plants. And come on like cameo, shake your pants and hoes get the leg out with no kissing or romancing. I'm off like Charlie Manson, contracts I be canceling. Anything I have to do to get them fucking Franklin stacking. Who's got my back when I fly till I die? Representing the west side, testify like the resident pipes in his back to the telly puffing on Northern Lights.
Cappies and Grammys, Grammys and Cabbies, known for beating down babbies, smoking fatty big daddies, cut white caddies. And I blow big with the biggest, fuck them bitches, it's all about the sack and my britches. What? I'm finna cut with my vegetable tree. The Mac God in the game invested in me, blessed with the zest and the opium cloud.
connect with my folks and I'm smoking them out. Yes, sky down my throat. High as the motherfucking sky when I choke. Rope a dope, take a tug for young Kobe Cole. It's Baby Beach from the Valley Joe. Now I can break them down in the Doja sacks and have this whole fucking town on these Doja tracks. Come on with this skunk butter. You like one man, I like another. I call it match in my child free fly and splash. Now I can break them down in the Doja sacks and have this whole fucking town on these Doja tracks. Come on with this skunk butter. You like one man, I like another. I call it match in my child free fly.
I steps on the scene blowing nothing but green. 37 states, bitch, is where I been. I'm in the back of the plane with a half a zip. Stuffed in my drawers, partner, don't even trip. I only smoke writers, game be the tightest. Cut corners ass, cause you know they the whitest. I'm not with the Phillies, swishers of Vega. It's all you can drink of these old English kegers. 6 foot bong, hit straight to the dome. Northern Light clones, man, we grows our own. 1100 quotas, 42 for the pain. I got the jacking hand and we still
I guess I'll hit up my partner Crisp and peep to see if he got some sticks of that big badass Northern Lights cardiac arrest. Kush, boy, your nose is some low shit, cause it'll have you on a mellow mission, hot as fuck. Still blunt twisting, laid back, bong hitting and spitting some lyrics with some partners from mid to deep. When you tacked outside and on them North Pole streets, yeah, it's your folks be roast down to tea, still doing things while we provide you with some Doja hits, nigga, cause we be smoking on 50 O's and P's of the $100 green hips, puffing J's like a pimp of the roast down sense. Boy, we stays high on something to the very
now
end.
Now I can break them down in the Doja sacks and have this whole fucking town on this Doja track. Come on with this skunk butter. You like one and I'll ride another. I call it match in my child proof line is flashy.
Now I can break them down in the Doja sacks and have this whole fucking town on this Doja track.
Come on with this skunk butter. You like one and I'll ride another. I call it match in my child proof line.
I put it down for my folks, G's and Lokes, brothers riding 100 spokes and bras with yokes. It's different strokes for different players, so I can't lie. I represent that big bayer
till the day I die.
I keep my eye up on that paper, another caper trying to get paid and leave a broad up in the wind till the money is made. I got them sacks weighed and them stolen nombres, parking lot pimping with my tightest hombres. It's drink or die. Game, I feed ya. Call you when I need ya. That be my procedure. Let me lead ya to the land of the Doja. Player JT, bitch, a V-Town soldier.
Well, I was born and still stand upon this land where the shit was planted at. And the minute your ass give me a hit, you pinch my ladder sack. So believe I'm living this Northern Light type of life, where it ain't right to leave you without a fat hitting your bike. And it's like my love for we stem from a bent reality. These ass be getting bent, so I'm put to bed on and dream of a greener salary instead of Bowery Depths. It'll face a little left, I got the high. A shit burnt out a twomp, if not invest, it'll hook you up with nothing less than the killer. With busted look like I just shook hands with a green gorilla. What I mean is tight, then let a fiend get in or get your heads right with the Northern Lights.
Why?
This shit's for real.
Now I can break them down in the Doja sacks and have this whole fucking town on these Doja tracks. Come on with this skunk butter. You like one and I'll like another.
I call it match in my child who fly to splash.
Now I can break them down in the Doja sacks and have this whole fucking town. Come on with this skunk butter. You like one and I'll ride another.
I call it match in my child free fly to splash.
This is Alan St. Pierre, Executive Director of NORML. We are the oldest, largest, and best-known marijuana law reform organization in America. And it's all because of your support. Take some time to join NORML at www.normal.org. Your membership supports this podcast, our websites, our policy research and analysis, and our annual conferences. Changing marijuana laws is a grassroots effort, and it starts with you, the stakeholder. Join NORML today and add your voice to the millions of cannabis consumers who demand equality with our beer-drinking friends.
legalization, decriminalization, lowest law enforcement priority, medical marijuana, ganja sacrament, consumer cannabis, industrial hemp. The world of marijuana law reform involves many different aspects of cannabis that intersect nearly every public policy discussion in America, including healthcare, the economy, global climate change, law enforcement and prisons, immigration, religion, free speech, energy policy, and war. Now we take a look at how re-legalizing marijuana will change the world in our normal daily audio stash, Cannabis Conversations.
In my new job as National Outreach Coordinator for Normal, part of what I'm trying to do is to build Normal chapters all across the country, kind of stealing an idea from Howard Dean called a 50-state strategy. The idea here is we want to have a Normal chapter in every state, so as these different laws and bills come forward to the legislatures, we have someone there on the ground who can help us deal with it. So today we're speaking with David Clark, who's in Georgia, looking to put together a Normal of Georgia chapter. And David, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Russ. I'm a big fan.
Well, thank you very much. We want to try to help get Georgians together. And while we do have a few college chapters in Georgia, we're lacking a state level, you know, Georgia Normal chapter. What made you want to get involved with putting a chapter together? Has the marijuana issue always been something that's dear to you in your life?
Well, Russ, I've been a criminal defense lawyer for 20 years, and over the years I've represented many people in Georgia on marijuana possession and manufacturing and distribution. And the laws have always struck me as silly and very much too strict in Georgia. But lately it just seems that the momentum is building. I became a fan of Daily Audio Stash about a year ago, and you reported about a month ago that you had been promoted to the chapter coordinator and you needed a Georgia chapter, and this fella in Georgia was denied a kidney transplant, and I said, you know, it's about time somebody did something in my state. I was a judge until October of last year, and I resigned from that position, which puts me in a position at this point as an independent lawyer to take this on without any repercussions to my career that would be detrimental. And, you know, you need lawyers to fix laws. You know, if you need a sink fixed, you call a plumber. If you need a law fixed, you need lawyers. So we need lawyers to fix this problem. And it just seemed like the right time. So I stepped forward and got about seven of my friends to step forward, and they became board members last Saturday. We had a meeting, and we're underway. And I think it's a good time. The political climate is getting better, I think, and we need people to take the lead in Georgia, so I'm happy to do it.
That's great. And the next steps that you have to do to become affiliated, tell our listeners a little bit about that, the process you're going through, and what pitfalls they could try to avoid if they're setting up a chapter.
Well, you know, I'm grateful for the help I'm getting from people from Normal, first of all, and also from the people on my board. They're great people. I've got excellent friends helping me, and they've pointed out and sent me forms. Basically, the things you need to do is get five people together who are willing to join Normal and help you out on your board. I would recommend as many lawyers as possible, just because I am one, and I happen to think that this is a legal problem. It's the laws that are oppressing people, not education or lack of sympathy among the public. Normal does a real good job of educating the public. I think what we're focused on is changing laws. So you need to get five friends together. You need to get articles of incorporation. You need to create a nonprofit corporation. And this sounds daunting, but it's really not that hard. Accountants and lawyers do this all the time. It's a process in Georgia that costs about $200 all told, and it's a couple of forms you need to fill out. And the reason you have to do this is to make sure your organization, the people who help you out, don't have personal liability and don't get sued and don't have their lives ruined because the organization slips up or somebody sues the organization or something bad happens. So nonprofit status just means that you're not going to pay anybody. You're not going to make a profit off of this group. This is not the point. And we're not going to pay each other either, but it leaves you the option of operating as a separate entity. If you need to sue somebody, you can sue as the organization, not as your individual selves. Mm. So that's important. Normal requires it. So you got to have articles and bylaws and an application to Normal, and you're pretty much done. $100, and then you can get a website together and get going.
Well, let's talk about getting you going. What are you looking at as far as a timeline for coming online, and how can we get people involved with the fledgling Normal of Georgia?
Well, we're excited. We had our organizational meeting, and everybody's been very helpful. All our paperwork is done. We're hoping to file our articles of incorporation with the Georgia Secretary of State at 4:20 p.m. on April 20th, symbolic reasons. And we look forward to doing a press release that day. Our website should be, it's kind of up and running right now, but it's only halfway done. It's going to be ganormal.org, ganorml.org. And people will be able to hopefully join after 4:20, after Monday the 20th of April. It should be fully functional so people can join online, pay their dues, help us out, become members, so we can start getting that critical mailing list together of people who are registered to vote in Georgia, that we can show legislators that this issue has overwhelming support in their district. And there's people on our list willing to step forward and say, yes, I support decriminalization of marijuana in Georgia. And then also, of course, we need the money to support our activities, which is going to be lobbying and shock and awe campaigns to get direct change of the laws in Georgia. We feel that Normal itself does a great job educating the public. The public is already educated. They're already on our side. It's a matter of changing the law, and that's what we're focusing on like a laser beam.
What kind of changes do you want to bring forth to Georgia law? Are you looking at decriminalization, low priority, medical?
Yeah, Georgia has a medical marijuana law that's been on the books since 1980. It covers only cancer and glaucoma, and it really hasn't been funded, and I'm unaware of anybody actually getting marijuana medicinally in Georgia. So we want to build on what we already have. I kind of want to be under the radar on this, because Georgia's a strange place. There's a lot of sympathy for our issue, but it's kind of backdoor sympathy. It's, you know, nothing people want to openly admit. So I hope to decriminalize by changing the criminal laws a little bit in ways that will keep people from going to jail for possession, keep people from losing their driver's license for possession, keep people from being discriminated against on health insurance claims just because they smoke pot, and to try to make it easier for medical patients to use marijuana and grow their own in private. It may stay illegal on the books. You know, that's just a Georgia thing. I don't think we can really have legalization in Georgia unless something monumental happens. So we're going to try to be under the radar and just try to make life easier for pot smokers in Georgia. And, you know, Georgia will benefit as a result, there's no doubt.
I know it's still very early in your development, but do you have any plans for any events over the summertime, festivals or presentations of any kind to the public?
Right now we don't. We're just trying to get the web presence started and get members and then have a membership meeting and get our legislative agenda started. Certainly, Normal does require every chapter to have an event every year for fundraising and membership, and we look forward to that. There's a long history of very dedicated activists in Georgia that have gone to great lengths for this issue, and some of them are tired and some of them are weary of the battle. But we honor everybody in Georgia who's given of themselves to this issue in the past, and we hope to work with them in getting concerts together, maybe some events on campus. We're going to be active on the many colleges in Georgia that are sympathetic, and see what we can do to get some excitement and some public pressure behind our issue now, when people really are talking about it, you know, nationwide, and Georgia should change it as well.
Excellent. Now, it is still early, and you're still working on the website, but if anyone wants to get in touch with you before the 4:20 filing date and help you build momentum early, is there any email addresses or phone numbers, or can they get to you from the website?
Yeah. Bobby, our web guy, just sent me something. I believe it's going to be ganormal@yahoo.com. So ganormal@yahoo.com. And Russ, if I screwed that up, I'm going to call you back later to correct it.
Okay. Well, we'll get that posted on the stash as well to let people just click through and get in touch with you. And we look forward to the beginning of ganormal.org as well.
Yeah, Georgia's a great place with great people, and most of them are sympathetic to our issue. It's just dicey getting the law changed. And, you know, we hope to do our very best to make some real changes in Georgia.
Excellent. Well, David Clark is a criminal defense attorney working in Georgia and the soon-to-be executive director of Georgia Normal. Is that correct?
Hey, yeah, they elected me that last Saturday, so I guess I'm it.
You're it. Okay. Well, we'll be in touch, and you keep us apprised of anything that's happening in Georgia. We'll make sure to send listeners your way.
Thank you, Russ. Peace.
Thank you. Thank you for downloading the Normal Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. We are produced by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. Our executive producer is Alan St. Pierre. Our deputy director is Paul Armentano. Our webmaster is Brian Judy. And web production is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. As always, you can catch up on the latest information about marijuana at www.norml.org. And you can interact and download from our Audio Stash blog at stash.normal.org. For everyone here at Normal, I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, hoping all your harvests are bountiful and your encounters with law enforcement are non-existent. We leave you today with a reminder that this is your last chance this week to get your announcements in for your 420 weekend activities to be posted on our Normal Daily Audio Stash Activist Agenda Calendar, which can be found at stash.normal.org/agenda. Just send in your events to stash@normal.org. And our quote of the day, brought to us by Mr. Spoff, this one comes from John J. Miller, the science fiction author, who says, quote, "Laws are only words written on paper, words that change on society's whim and are interpreted differently daily by politicians, lawyers, judges, and policemen. Anyone who believes that all laws should always be obeyed would have made a fine slave catcher. Anyone who believes that all laws are applied equally, despite race, religion, or economic status, is a fool." End quote. I'll leave it at that. Thanks for joining us for the podcast. We'll catch you next week. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.